Coming 674-0656 or stop by 157 West Brundage next to Real Deals in Sheridan.
Christmas is a busy time of the year, and amid the hustle and bustle, the Heartland Kubota family would like to wish you a Merry Christmas. Let's not forget the reason for the season. Hi, this is Krista with Heartland Kubota. Your patronage and friendship have been valued assets to our business. We have made many new friends and appreciate everyone who has helped with our success this past year. Heartland Kubota would like to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
If someone you loved died by suicide, grief doesn't follow a timeline. NAMI Sheridan offers a suicide loss therapeutic support group, a free clinician-led space for support and understanding. Meetings are on the second and fourth Mondays of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. Pre-registration is required. Call 307-202-8117 to sign up and get location details. You are not alone.
Your holiday savings start at SheridanMedia.com's Christmas Online Marketplace, where items from over 40 area businesses begin at half price. If you place a bid and no one else bids on it, it could be yours for half price. Give people something they want, like gift certificates to Centennial Theaters, Sheridan Liquor, Valvoline Express Care, Evia Hearing and Sound, Sheridan Commercial Company, and Craft Bros Music. Bid now until Monday. We're closing the marketplace down noon Monday at SheridanMedia.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Monday, December 15th. And from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Sheridan Greenhouse Living Business Office Manager, Casey Olson, and Activities Director, Kim DeGraw. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
All right. Now, for those who don't know, what is Sheridan Greenhouse, Kim?
Sheridan Greenhouse is a long-term care facility where we provide full cares to elders within our community. However, Greenhouse is set up a little bit differently than typical long-term care facilities or regular nursing homes.
What's different about it?
So within the greenhouse, we call it the greenhouse model. And the greenhouse model is where our residents live like they would in their normal home, just with the care of support.
Okay. So I've got my own little place and somebody comes over and kind of helps take care of me.
Yeah. How I like to classify it is it's a home with roommates. So each resident has their own individual room. With their own bathroom. We have shared facilities such as our living room, our dining room, our kitchen, our den, and our laundry room, and where they can gather for group activities or where family can come in, but they still live their own lives independently.
Okay. That sounds pretty nice, actually. You know, we'll talk a little bit later in the show about socialization and remaining active. And that's one thing that I think a model like that would really kind of spur along, remaining active and getting out there and remaining social. And
absolutely.
As I get older, you know, I'm 45 now, and I'm looking down the line and my own habits kind of popping into my head where it's like, man, I better start making some friends because I don't get out much outside of work itself. And I don't want to be one of those people who's just kind of sitting in his room by himself all the time. Now, Casey, what led you to kind of being involved in a business office?
Well, in a business office, I didn't have a lot of experience prior to greenhouse living. I did do a little billing for UPS and whatnot, but the main thing that led me to the greenhouse model was my mom worked in healthcare for over 20 years as a CNA.
Oh, wow.
And it was a more institutionalized place. It was in Newcastle, Wyoming. So it was more institutionalized, and I just saw the greenhouse model, and they gave me an opportunity to come in and fix the AR, which was a little shoddy due to some past administrations, but so I just saw the opportunity to work in a field that I had always wanted to work in, at a job that I knew I could do and do well. And yeah, and just the ability to make a difference is hugely important to the greenhouse model. And yeah, I feel like I've made a difference there more than any place I've ever worked.
And that's, I mean, that's really important. Being able to go home and feel good about what you've done for the day, you know, as a team member.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And it helps you get up in the mornings.
Absolutely.
You go to work excited. You go to work knowing what you're going to do. And you know that there's going to be some surprises, but you have all the equipment and all the support, because anybody can do anything on a greenhouse campus. So you have all the support that you'll ever need just going to work. And that's, it's a big deal. And yeah, it's important to us how our elders are taken care of. And
I'm glad you brought up the support. That's something that my wife and I were actually talking about sometime this weekend. You know, some people like to act pretty independently, and that's great, having that. But if you have support and someone kind of backing you up, you feel that you can really take on just about any challenge. You know, there's much less hesitation when you see the big, you know, ravine in front of you, knowing that, hey, I got engineers that know how to build a bridge. I can do this. We can get across this gap. No problem. Kim, how'd you get involved?
So I originally am from North Central Montana. I have been in Sheridan for about a year and a half now. And I came down, and I actually have been in teaching education for the last 15 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And when I made the move, I decided I just wanted a little break. I just wanted a little change. And I have two master's degree, one in business management, and I also have one in curriculum and instruction. And when I saw the activities director position at Sheridan Greenhouse, I thought that it would be just a perfect fit, a perfect change for me.
Yeah.
And so I applied, and the rest is kind of in its history right now.
Yeah. And that's kind of fascinating. I mean, it's almost like doing the same thing.
It is.
Just at opposite age spectrums.
It exactly is. Yes.
On that, have you noticed any like major challenges where you're like, oh, I need to think about this as opposed to that?
You know, honestly, I haven't. It's, I kind of fell into this role in it. I walked in and I kind of honestly knew exactly what I wanted to do and how I wanted to do it. Like you said, the different ends of the spectrum, you know, are a little challenging, but in the same, it's not.
Yeah.
With the background that I have, it was really easy for me to come in and talk with our elders and get their insight on what needs to be done and how it needs to be done, what they were looking for. And I jumped right in full force.
Did you kind of take a survey when you first got there, where you're like, what types of activities you guys want?
I did.
Yeah.
And I gathered from their background what they were looking for, the kind of things that they used to do even out in the community. And from there, that's how I started developing and planning for their activities.
Now, Kim, how does the greenhouse model really differ from what people traditionally think of as a nursing home?
So if you were to walk into one of our cottages, you would see elders gathering. You would see staff interacting with them continuously. How I like to explain it is, when I go from home, I go to my second home. And so it's becoming a part of their family and uniting as one home front. We eat dinners together if you want to. We sit down at family dining, big long table, so we can socialize. We can sit out in front of the fireplace. We interact with each other. We see residents going to each other's rooms for interaction, social interaction. And really, we just all unite together. It's a smaller campus, We have 12 residents per cottage.
How many cottages?
We have four.
Okay.
Yeah, we currently have four cottages, 12, like I said, 12 per each. And it just creates more of a home atmosphere.
Yeah.
Residents are allowed to go anywhere within their home that they choose. If they need assistance, that's what we're there for. That's what we have fabulous CNAs and our wonderful nursing staff for, to help transport or whatever. But we try not to limit them to the things that they are and aren't able to do.
Yeah. Now, when you say long-term care is about living well, what does that philosophy mean in day-to-day practice?
Living well means that, I personally believe living well day-to-day means that your emotional needs are being met, your social connections are there, your identity and self-worth is intact, and really that you have an amazing quality of life as you age.
Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, it's important to reframe long-term care as a continuation of life instead of a final stage. And this morning when I was looking over some things, I was thinking, you know, how I thought about it when I was a little kid. I had some friends whose grandparents went to a long-term care facility. And that, I don't know. It was, I don't want to kind of poo-poo anything, but his granddad was quiet. Mm-hmm. Didn't really seem overly happy. Almost as if he was resigned.
Right.
You know, and that image, that idea had been with me for so long, you know, where, geez, just call it a hospice, man, like a long-term hospice.
Absolutely.
Know? Because I, when people say, hey, you know, dad, mom, we're going to put you here, that's the idea that always came to my head. This is totally different, isn't it?
It is absolutely different. And like Casey mentioned, typically, when people think of long-term care, they think of more of a hospital or more of an institution. Whereas within Greenhouse, and it's nothing like that. They're moving straight into a comfy home setting where they can still be independent and still make their own choices without those limitations, but also have the support of our care staff.
And they don't have to worry about certain things that, like the minutiae of everyday life, dishes, laundry, things like that, right?
Unless they want to. They can do their own dishes. They can do their own laundry if they're still able to do that. We definitely encourage them to do that. We are there to provide support in that area if they do need support, but they're encouraged to carry on their same way of life. Like if somebody wants to set the table or if somebody wants to help in the kitchen or something like that, the elders are more than welcome to do that. And we assist them in every way possible to do that, to keep on living their best life, to do what's meaningful to them. So if what's meaningful to them is just to do crafts all day, they can do crafts all day. If what's meaningful to them is to do work in the kitchen, then they can do that. It's just a continuation of life. Yeah. It's not like, well, you're here, this is your last stop.
Yeah.
It's you're here. Let's make the best of your life and live the rest of your life the way you want to live it.
The way you want to live it.
Yep.
Wyoming people are very independent. So are Montana people.
Yes,
that's
we
why
are.
We're out here in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
We want to be independent. We don't want to have to depend on anybody. And so to think, you know, hey, you can join this community housing, but at the same time, you can still cook a dinner, do some dishes, maintain laundry. These are things that seem, I don't know, very trivial probably to a 20 or a 30-year-old, maybe even things that they don't want to do. But then the minute comes when you either can't do it or someone takes it away from you.
That's right.
And holy cow, I could only imagine how upset I'd be if that were to happen. So I think that's why it's so important to kind of reframe that. How does that mindset change how staff interact with our seniors on a daily basis?
It's more of a family environment than what you would think of as staff taking care of a resident at a retirement home or whatnot.
Almost like having that trusted nurse come in and visit me once a day. Hey, how are you
right.
feeling?
Mm-hmm. Right. And we're trying to get to the staffing level where we can have the same staff in each house. So it's more of a familiar feeling. It's more of a family feeling when the elder is doing any kind of activity because they have the same people around. The staff interactions it's a lot different than being a normal CNA because the interactions include cooking dinner and doing activities with the elders and taking the elders on walks and going on outings with the elders.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot more of a personal bonding experience. And the way the greenhouse model works, everybody is basically capable of getting in the kitchen and making a meal. So if we're short-staffed, Kim will get in the kitchen and make a meal, and she has on several occasions. So the way the staff interact is more of a family-based interaction than what you would see is just employees having to be there and doing their basic nursing work.
Yeah. So more of a, I guess you could say like a mini community.
It absolutely is.
As opposed to anything else. Which would make me feel a heck of a lot better. All right. I'm being told we need to take a quick commercial break. I'm going to have more with Greenhouse Living right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust, we believe strong financial futures start with smart money decisions.
That's why First Federal partners with K-12 schools and local organizations to bring financial literacy to our community.
We tailor our free resources to fit your classroom or group, offering interactive bank tours, materials, and in-person education.
Want to help build a financial confidence?
Request a speaker or materials today at efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust.
Investing in strong financial futures.
Doug, I've got a great gift idea.
Oh boy, this ought to be good.
Detail Shop gift certificates from the Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop.
Hey, that is good. Finally, something useful instead of another kitchen thing nobody asked for.
Hey, that air fryer changed lives.
Bob, it melted a spatula. Look, if someone's car looks like a tornado hit the snack aisle, they do need this.
Doug, you're right.
I know I am. Grab gift certificates and give the gift of clean at Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop, 409 Broadway, or online at WaringSheridan.com.
Mule deer are on their way to winter ranges and could be on some highways too. Pay close attention for deer when driving, especially in early morning and evening hours. If there's one deer on a highway, there's probably another nearby. Pay attention to those deer warning signs. They're there for a reason. Reducing vehicle speed is your best bet. Collision repair costs are an incentive too. Wildlife vehicle collisions can cause a lot of damage, and slowing down can save both you and the wildlife. Sponsored by the Wyoming Game and Fish, the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
The holidays are here, and the Cozy Corner Gift Shop, just inside Sheridan Memorial Hospital, has something for everyone on your nice list. When you shop at the Cozy Corner, you're not only buying a gift, you're also giving back. We donate all of the proceeds to the Sheridan Memorial Hospital Foundation to support hospital projects. From decorations to clothing, we have all of your holiday essentials. Stop by and find the perfect gift today, and Merry Christmas from all of your Cozy Corner volunteers.
Shop smarter with SheridanMedia.com's Christmas Online Marketplace. Find half-price items from over 40 Sheridan area businesses, perfect for holiday gifting. If you place a bid and no one else bids on it, it could be yours for half price. Give people something they want, like gift certificates to Mirror Mirror Salon and Day Spa, Glow Wild Spray Tan and Skincare, the Big Horn Y and Pride and Groom, but bid now until Monday. We're going to close the marketplace at noon Monday so you can get your gifts. Check it out, SheridanMedia.com.
I'm with Candace Kindred from Teriyaki Madness, and I hear you're bringing the madness to catering.
Tommy, hi. We sure are. Our teriyaki bar feeds to 10 humans. You pick one protein and two bases, white rice, brown rice, fried rice, or noodles, and each bar comes with our stir-fry veggies.
That sounds delicious.
And if you need more, just add another teriyaki bar or grab a couple a la carte trays. We make it crazy easy. Hey, and tell everyone you made it. We won't tell.
Bring the madness to your next event with Teriyaki Madness on Coffeen Avenue behind Scooters.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with Sheridan Greenhouse Living Business Office Manager, Casey Olson, and Activities Director, Kim DeGraw. Now, Studies consistently show that seniors who remain physically active enjoy significantly better physical health. They've got fewer chronic diseases, better mobility, lower fall risk. My grandmother fell, so I understand the importance of that. And they also have better mental well-being. There's less depression. It's an improved mood. They've got better cognitive function and a higher quality of life when compared to their peers who are less active. My father has been classified, and I say classified as a senior because he certainly doesn't act like one for a number of years. 80 years old. He remains active. He's got his horses, he's got his dogs, he's got his chores that he's got to get done. And he is healthy as one of his horses. I do believe it's because he gets up. He's got something to do. He's got something to look forward to. Kim, what does staying active look like at the Sheridan Greenhouse on a typical
day? On a typical day, we have scheduled exercise activities Monday through Friday that are typically done in the mornings, but we, of course, let elders choose as a group or individually what time they would prefer to do those. But we have
stations.
A lot of elders that prefer walking. You'll see our elders walking up and down the hallways. We have CNAs that will take our elders out for campus walks. We do weightlifting, not 1 pound weightlifting. let me clarify that.
A bunch of seniors out there hitting the yard,
hitting the gym. Yeah, but we do hand weights for our elders that are not as mobile. You'll see them playing bowling in the hallway just to get that arm movement in. We have horseshoes that we can offer.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
There are so many different activities that we have for physical exercise that can be offered at the greenhouse.
When you sit down to plan activities, do you do it like monthly, weekly, heck, even daily? How do you really set this schedule out for them?
So I do plan monthly, but I get the feedback. We have committees and councils that consist of our elders and our leadership staff. And so when we go to plan these activities, I get the feedback from them the month before to get their input. And then I go back and I plan for the following month. So in December, I will already have January's activity schedule made.
Yeah.
Just because it's important to get their feedback, their input on what they would like to do and see.
And I imagine, I don't know, you probably have a lot of avenues to kind of adjust for this, but making sure that there's activities for everybody, no matter what level of mobility or interactivity that they want to participate in. I mean, maybe I don't want to get up and go cross-country skiing today, but hey, go outside, throw a horseshoe. We've got this time slotted for that, right?
Right. That's absolutely correct. And it doesn't even just have to be during that particular time frame. Of course, I do schedule it on the activities calendar that they are provided. But at any given time, they can pick up or set up the bowling set or pick up hand weights if they choose. We don't limit it to specific time frames.
Now, cognitive ability and kind of staying on top of that, you've got to keep activating. It's just like a muscle. You know, the more you work it out, the better it is. My father to this day will do algebra in his head and ask why I can't. School system. But
that's right.
But he's always been that way. He's like, why show your work? What are you doing? You should be able to do this in your head. And he still does. It's notorious. He's notorious for having something to build or something to do whenever you go visit him. He makes sure when the hands show up, they've got something to keep them active, which is really funny. It's kind of reversed. But he's always on top of things. He's always doing something. He's always trying to learn something. But that's just my father's natural curiosity. Other individuals might not be that interested in doing that. How do we keep our cognitive abilities up to par?
So cognitive and mental stimulating activities really are done in so many different ways. They can be done with crossword puzzles or word searches, anything. Something as small as that still keeps that cognition going.
The puzzle books.
Absolutely.
I can remember having a handful of puzzle books. Yeah.
Yes. And they're really big within our community at Greenhouse. But we also provide activities such as I do armchair travel, where they go, I take them on a little journey to, let's say, this month we're going to South Korea. And I look up simple things on YouTube and do some research on the particular area. And it just keeps that memory and attention going for them, and also gives them a chance to explore places maybe they've never been or have always wanted to go. So it's really being creative on the way that you keep them and their cognition rolling.
And so, like, on these little armchair trips that you're taking, which I love that, by the way, do we have a meal? Maybe, hey, they celebrate this. Let's have a day where we're going to celebrate this festival or something like
so
that.
So I do try to provide some sort of, like, a drink or some sort of think of ways that I can incorporate that. Typically what they love to see is, and here is the music and the dance from that area. Music is really another big part in keeping your brain strong as well. And so we usually show videos of the typical dance from that particular culture, and then play music to go along with it. If there's something that I can get in the kitchen and make for them, I definitely will. I think we ended up having hot chocolate or something one time when we visited Switzerland armchair travel. And it was homemade hot chocolate, so we melted it down and all that funness of that. But those are just ways to keep them mentally stimulated within our community.
And a great way to learn to appreciate another culture.
Absolutely.
You know, it's one of those things you can't treat, or what are they? They always say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, after watching my dad for the past 20 years, yes, you can. and he loves to travel, and he loves to eat various foods of the regions that he goes to. The old boy's still extremely active and very independent. When we talk about social interaction, that's another thing that I think about my father, because he can make friends anywhere. And it kind of blows my mind because, you know, growing up with your dad, he's kind of an ornery old coot, but get him around other people, and boy, watch that charm just ooze right out there. Tell me about the social interactions between our seniors up here at Greenhouse and how important that is from what you've seen.
So social interaction is extremely important, and we see it in so many different ways. One of my favorite ways to see them socially active is their mealtimes. Breakfast, everybody gets up at a little bit different time, but more times than not, you will see almost all of our residents sitting around the table for lunch or sitting around the table for dinner. And they just socialize before the meal's served. Another way that we provide that socialization with our elders is I give our CNAs something to read at dinner time or lunchtime. And then they can sit and they talk about it. The one that they typically read at dinner is called This Day in History. And so it brings up historical events or a famous person's birthday. And they're able to sit and talk about it and engage with not only our staff, but with each other, asking questions. Do you remember this? Or I remember that day. And then it just sparks that conversation with them.
Yeah, and really sparks memory, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, they just say Robert Redford and everyone's got something to say from back in the day. I showed my dad how to play cribbage online. Opened up a brand new world for him. Holy cow, he's made a lot of friends that way. Now, when it comes to individuals who kind of look around, we're going to talk about taking tours, but there are misconceptions. And Casey, I was going to ask you, what are some of the misconceptions that you hear from a lot of families when you kind of give a tour of the grounds and show them the greenhouse up there?
A lot of the misconceptions involve around them thinking that it's going to be like a normal nursing home. Like, you're going to have hallways, and
it's going to look like a hospital.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. The, you know, the tile floor, the 2 to 3 people to each room, and
the
whatnot.
Sweet smell of formica.
Yeah. But the first thing you're going to see when you walk into one of our cottages is the fireplace. There's a fireplace and the piano and bookshelves full of books and this big table where everybody gathers around to eat. And then once you get into the rooms, the families usually can't believe how much space there is. They're like, oh, they get all this space to themselves. And we have the privilege of being in such a beautiful location at Greenhouse that any of the windows you look out, you're going to see wildlife. There's birds out there 24/7. Watch the deer in the field. We have fox and everything. So people are just, they don't think that some place like this exists because of their prior knowledge in what a nursing home is. You don't see very many greenhouse models, especially in this part of the country. There are only 2 in the state. So when you're going to the typical nursing home that's attached to a hospital or whatnot, yeah, you will always get that institutional feel, which is something we strive to keep out. We don't like to hang signs. We don't like to decorate unless the elders vote on the decorations. So it's their home. And I think that people are pleasantly surprised when they walk in to see how home-like the environment is. And it's just a different world from any of the other places that they can tour.
And, you know, when it comes to small critters or animals, I hit 40 years old and I had a blue jay fly into my yard. And I never would have thought the reaction of my heart would have been what it was to seeing a blue jay in my yard. But after that, holy cow, I suddenly became a bird feeder guy, where I was like, well, now I want more of them every year, right? So I really set things up. And what's funny is I used to kind of poke fun at my dad for that kind of stuff, where he's like, I got a fox right over here, or I got this over there. And he was always looking out his window. And I used to think, man, I got to get this guy something to do. But as I get older, I would love to see a fox in my yard. I would love to see that kind of stuff. It really kind of, it just brings warmth to your heart. So the idea of having some animal friends outside that you can sit and watch, and you know, bird watching is a hobby for a reason. You know, it's quite fascinating. And it's also an activity. How do activities evolve as residents age? You might get somebody in there who's extremely mobile, but then maybe something is occurring with their health and their mobility falls or drops. And that would really tear me apart to watch, let alone to have happen to me. How do we keep their spirits up activity-wise when we see things like that?
We make sure that we accommodate to what their needs are. And that does happen within our community as we see them going from extremely active and then, you know, watching them slowly decline activity-wise. But our staff is so amazing at catching those things as they're happening. So we try not to let them get to the point where they're getting solely secluded.
You fall into a depression.
Right. And the great thing is our staff will do everything we can to try and adapt to whatever needs they have when it comes to staying active physically or with their cognition.
And laughter. How important is laughter in your field of work?
Laughter is so incredibly important. And you see laughter within our community. Our staff, we have some of our elders can just make you laugh and smile. And when you're laughing and smiling, they're laughing and smiling back with you. It is such a heartwarming, amazing feeling.
It can really bring someone back from the edge.
Absolutely.
You know, even if it is like one of those ironic laughs or something, you know, the ornery laugh, I like to call it, you know, it can really, really improve not just a mood, but the environment itself. Maintaining a sense of purpose.
Yes.
How do we do that?
I think that goes back to what Casey was saying earlier, is maintaining a sense of purpose is not limiting them to what they are and aren't able to do within our community. If their purpose is to help out with doing the dishes, then that's what we do. We have one elder that loves to clean up after meals, and so they let her do so. If their sense of purpose is creating crafts to make their cottage or other people feel better, then we allow them to do so. We don't set limitations on what our elders can and can't do.
That's fantastic to hear. On that, I've got to take another quick commercial break, folks. More with our Sheridan Greenhouse right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Hey, Riley, remember learning about money when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. Mostly how to spend it.
That's why First Federal Bank and Trust is helping kids and teens learn how to manage it.
We bring financial literacy right into classrooms and organizations, totally free.
With interactive tours, materials, and real banking pros to answer questions.
Want to bring it to your group? Visit efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust.
Building strong financial futures together.
Hello, Wyoming. This is your Congresswoman, Harriet Hegeman. With my legislative agenda, I continue to prioritize deregulation, energy dominance, defending your constitutional liberties, and preserving Wyoming's way of life. From unwinding the Biden administration's policies on Western lands and resources, to keeping rural mail operating effectively, to protecting Wyoming truckers, drivers, and roads, I spend each day with your priorities as my focus. By acting as a liaison between you and federal agencies, my office has returned over $14 million to Wyoming citizens and businesses. If you have a tax dispute or need help with the VA, the Social Security Administration, or another agency, please call my office at 307-261-6595 or go to hegeman.house.gov. Paid for by official funds authorized by the House of Representatives.
I'm with Candace Kindred from Teriyaki Madness, and I hear you're bringing the madness to catering.
Tommy, hi. We sure are. Our teriyaki bar feeds up to 10 humans. You pick one protein and two bases, white rice, brown rice, fried rice, or noodles, and each bar comes with our stir-fry veggies.
That sounds delicious.
And if you need more, just add another teriyaki bar or grab a couple a la carte trays. We make it crazy easy. Hey, and tell everyone you made it. We won't tell.
Bring the madness to your next event with Teriyaki Madness on Coffeen Avenue behind Scooters.
Bricks and mortar, sticks and stone, a house is a house until you make it a home. Sandbox, hopscotch, yardstick on the wall, backyard soccer goal, laughter down the hall. This is Lisa Hansen with MC2 Realty. Don't settle for the first house that works. Let's find the one that's home. I'll put my years of experience and extensive knowledge of the local market to work for you. Buy or sell with confidence. Call me, Lisa Hansen, at 307-763-3964. And we'll start your home journey today.
When it comes to Wyoming, your roof takes the hits. Hail, wind, snow, and sun. That's why Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors installs metal roofing built to last. From commercial-grade R-panel, residential metal roofs, and our impact-resistant 24-gauge standing seam systems, every option is engineered for strength, longevity, and performance. When you want protection that lasts a lifetime, call Brandon 307 for your free inspection. Quality materials, quality installation, local clearance you can count on. Visit Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
This public service message is presented by BHJ Property Management at 101 South Main.
Attention, Hardin, Wyola, Lodgegrass, Crow Agency, Pryor, Lame Deer, Ashland, and Busby. The Marine Corps Toys for Tots is heading your way. Every child deserves a Christmas. Register, donate, or volunteer at Sheridan-WY.ToysForTots.org. Hope is only a gift away.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. Studies show the younger generation spending time with seniors yields significant mutual benefits. mutual benefits, folks. This boosts youth's empathy, their social skills, and their health choices. Less drug and alcohol use, believe it or not. This is from a study. It also reduces seniors' loneliness, their depression, and their cognitive decline. It fosters purpose and improves overall mental and physical well-being for both groups through shared wisdom, activities, and breaking down age stereotypes on both sides, which I think is extremely important. Generational gaps socially can seem pretty significant until they're sitting across the table from each other, sharing a cup of coffee, maybe giving a laugh. We're all still human, and we're all still here in America. Now, our guests this morning are Sheridan Greenhouse Living Business Office Manager, Casey Olson, and Activities Director, Kim DeGraw. When we look at intergenerational interaction, why is it so beneficial to elders?
I think that intergenerational interaction benefits the elders by showing them that the generations that follow them still care, that they value their stories, that they can sit down, like some middle school kids sitting down and talking for 2 hours with an elder just to get their perspective on life, just to find out what it was like when they were growing up and whatnot, can give the kid and the elder different perspectives into, you know, how lives are being lived. I think it's a good way to stay in touch. A lot of the elders, well, not a lot of them, but some of the elders don't have that family structure around them where they get input from other generations, from their kids and grandkids. So we have great volunteers, and the staff brings their kids in, and it's just a great opportunity for the younger generation to learn from the elders, while the elders get that meaningful life by being able to share their experiences and share stories that just captivate the younger generations, and realizing that what they say is important, I think makes them feel like they still fit into society.
And again, you know, we were talking about sense of purpose beforehand. And if, let's say you were going to go share a story with a bunch of middle school kids, and I'm glad you brought up that age, because that's difficult age for everybody all the way around. And I think, you know, the wisdom shared from somebody who is considerably older saying, hey, bud, I know this or that seems so important right now. And that's something I used to tell my daughter. Now, I know that high school is your whole life right now, and this seems like it is just life-altering circumstances. But believe it or not, you're going to get out there, and there is a wide world, and you'll look back over this and probably laugh at how important you thought this moment was. But it puts things into perspective on both ends. And one thing that I always really enjoyed when the younger kids teach my old man slang.
Oh, you know, yeah.
It's funny. I'm sorry, but it's funny to hear my dad use some modern words or know more than I do, which always kind of hurts a little bit. Now, we've talked about how younger generations really benefit. Kim, you said you have kids that like to go up there and visit.
I do. So I have a 10-year-old and a 16-year-old, and they absolutely love coming up and spending time with our elders up there. My 10-year-old is the star of the show, which doesn't surprise most people, but she benefits from that because she gets to see these people and see them in a different light than what she's typically used to seeing. And, you know, she asks questions, you know, especially with our dementia patients and, or not patients, but our dementia elders, or, you know, and she asks questions, and I'm able to sit there and explain some of the process of, you know, what dementia looks like. And she doesn't look at it as a disability or something that is wrong with them. She just looks at it at 10 years old. She looks at it as an opportunity to help them and make them smile. And support them and fulfill them while she's there with us.
Yeah.
Whether it's making her wake, making them laugh, or she sat down and read a book to a couple of our elders last week, and it just made their hearts so happy.
Yeah.
And in return, it made her so fulfilled that she was doing something not for herself, but for somebody else.
And it's a simple interaction, isn't it? It's
very simple.
Her going and reading a book, and everybody in that room is probably absolutely captivated.
Absolutely they are.
And they walk away from that. And today was a great day.
And they still talk about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, that's important too, is to see them talking about it the next day, because sometimes they don't remember what they did 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
But for them to be able to talk about it for the next day or the following week, that's what means the most.
Oh, that's incredible. Yeah. 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 Oh, wow. All right. Volunteer involvement. And let's talk about that a little bit. What is the level of volunteer involvement at Greenhouse?
We love volunteers. We really don't have a set level of what our volunteers are able to do or not do. We would love any volunteer that could come up, whether they want to come up for an hour and play music or come up and just socialize with our elders. If they have a particular activity or craft or something they would like to put on, we would love for them to come up and do that. Just any social engagement for our elders, we are more than happy to have volunteers come up for.
I would imagine you get nursing students or maybe even, medical students who come up, and they're more than happy to volunteer, kind of also get a hands-on experience with this type of activity with all these individuals, while also fulfilling, fantastic social engagement. And as we were talking about earlier, sharing a couple laughs.
We do, and we do get we get the high school students that come in for their CNA class, which is amazing. It gives them a chance to see what we do at our particular community versus other long-term care facilities. I currently have, I have one gentleman that comes in and he plays music once a month for us. The elders absolutely love it. I have therapy dogs that come in. We have a volunteer that comes in with pet therapy. She's absolutely phenomenal. We have a pastor that comes in and does services once a month. And I have one absolutely fabulous volunteer that comes in on Mondays and Tuesdays. And that is what she does, is she just spends social time with our elders for 2 hours, Mondays and Tuesdays. And we are just so flexible with any amount of time that anybody's willing to give or anything they have to offer.
Now, if somebody did want to volunteer, someone out there is listening right now and they're like, there's my opportunity, this is what I want to do in my community, what do they need to do, Kim?
They are more than welcome to reach out to myself at Sheridan Greenhouse, or they can contact our volunteer coordinator at Sheridan Memorial Hospital.
Easy to do. You can find that online really, really quick, folks. And I'll make sure that I get a link up there for you, and I'll try to make it even easier for you. Casey, when it comes to the office stuff, when it comes to you seeing families walk through the door, they know they've got a senior who they would love to be in this environment. What would you say are some of the things that a family can get prepared before walking through that door to talk to you?
That's a great question. Mainly, if they're going to be on a program such as Medicaid and whatnot, they will need their financial statement and whatnot to get that kind of thing started. Just basically an understanding on our private rates and whatnot. We're willing to work with people in a lot of areas as far as financial goes. So just bringing in just the basics can get us started, and then we work throughout the process. Everything doesn't have to be done in one single day. So if they have questions, I'm always available. So if they have any questions at the start or any questions about the first payments or whatnot. So yeah, just basically be prepared to know how much money is available and where that money's coming from. And then if they're applying to Medicaid, we'll help them out with that. So
yeah, because a lot of that stuff can be so dang confusing.
Yeah.
Looking down through it, it's good to know, hey, if I got some questions or if I feel like I'm wandering into the dark here, I can get a hold of you. I can come visit you at the office. We can get this worked out.
Exactly. Exactly. And yeah, my office door is always open to families that want to come in and have questions about billing. I take care of a lot of stuff on the back end too. So my job doesn't stop when the resident is no longer with us. So yeah, I still like to take care of the families, make mm-hmm. sure they're getting the best deal and making sure that they don't have to, you know, go broke to pay for any kind of back payments or anything like that.
I
just like to make it a more family friendly environment as far as billing goes, which is challenging because billing in itself is, you know, kind of intimidating.
Oh, it's billing. Yeah. We all know the challenges there. No one likes to look at the bill of anything. But you have ways you can make this a heck of a lot easier for families.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And haven't had too many complaints so far, but I take it very personally when it comes to that kind of thing. We took so good care of their elder that was there and made him part of the family, and that extends to the families as well.
Yeah, that's great. I love that last sentiment right there. You know what? We said family, we meant family. Kim, if there was anything that you wanted folks to know about greenhouse living that we haven't talked about or that we haven't covered, what would that be?
I would say that Sheridan Greenhouse is a place where I would honestly feel comfortable with my parents going as they age. It would be a community that I would feel happy knowing that they would be taken care of in all of their social and medical needs. Like Casey said, we don't just stop at activities. We don't just stop at billing. Everybody is hands-on, whether it be our dietitian or our director of nursing, our administrator, our admin coordinator. We're all out there. We're all out there providing the best care that we can for any loved one, along with our nursing and CNA staff. And I just want people to know that when they bring their loved one in, we will treat them like family, like they would hope so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you both so much for coming in this morning. It was an absolute pleasure talking with you. Happy holidays to both of you.
You as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Caught me off guard at that last one there.
FM 103.9 is News Talk 930 KROE. Sheridan.
KROE.